ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from 7th canto, 2nd chapter, verse number 58. Shri Hiranyakashipu Uvacha Bala Evam Pravadati Sarve Vismita Chetasah ज्ञातयो मे निरे सर्वम् अनित्यम् अयथोचितम् ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत से प्रभुपाद हिरण्यकशिपु सेड व्हाइल यमराज इन द फॉर्म ऑफ अ स्मॉल बेबी वाज इंस्ट्रक्टिंग ऑल द रिलेटिव्स सराउंडिंग द डेड बॉडी ऑफ सुयज्ञ एवरीवन वाज स्ट्रक विद वंडर बाय हिज फिलोसॉफिकल वर्ड्स They could understand that everything material is temporary, not continuing to exist. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Antavanta ime deha nitya syokta sharirina. The body is perishable, the soul within the body is imperishable. Therefore, the duty of those advanced in knowledge in human society is to study their constitutional position of the imperishable soul and not waste the valuable time of human life in merely maintaining the body and not considering life's real responsibility. Every human being should try to understand how the spirit soul can be happy and where he can attain an eternal, blissful life of knowledge. Human beings are meant to study these subject matters, not to be absorbed in caring for the temporary body which is sure to change. No one knows whether he will receive a human body again. There is no guarantee for according to one's work, one may get any body, from that of a demigod to that of a dog. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya comments, only Janardhan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is ever existing, but his creation, the material world, is temporary. Everyone who is captivated by the material energy and absorbed in thinking, I am this body and everything belonging to the body is mine, is an illusion. One should think only of being eternally a part of Janardhan, and one's endeavor in this material world, especially in the human form of life, should be to attain the association of Janardhan by going back home, back to Godhead. Translation. Hiranyakashipu said, while Yamaraj, in the form of a small boy, was instructing all the relatives surrounding the dead body of Suyagya, everyone was struck with wonder by his philosophical words. They could understand that everything material is temporary, not continuing to exist. So this is the beginning of knowledge, to understand that which is real and that which is unreal. That which is real is that which is eternal. And the body, the things connected with the body, which are temporary, they are unreal. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, every human being should try to understand how the spirit soul can be happy. Every human being, especially a devotee, should concentrate his efforts on trying to do spiritual development so that at the end of this life one can go back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada is quoting here Srila Madhvacharya in the purport that one should not think of I and mine, but one should think of himself as a part of Janardana, Krishna, one of the names of Krishna. And one's endeavor, especially in this human form of life, should be to attain the association of Janardana by going back home, back to Godhead. This is the central purpose of the human form of existence, to live in such a way that at the end of one's life, one can go back home, back to Godhead. It's very important that we analyze our mental activities, because even if we are surrounded by devotees chanting Hare Krishna at the time of death, if we are not thinking of Krishna or his things in relationship with Krishna, his name, form, pastimes, then we may have to take birth again. We all need help. But the most important thing is to be absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. Manmana bhavamad bhakto. Krishna explains, always think of me. If we are always thinking of Krishna, then naturally we will be thinking of Krishna at the time of death also. The devotee should be focused in his goal of not wanting to come back to this material world. This is the purpose of life. To live in such a way that one can remember Krishna always, and then naturally remember Krishna at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. And that is possible if one offenselessly chants the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one is conscious of the rare opportunity of being given the chance to chant Hare Krishna, then one will feelingly take shelter of the holy name. One should be very careful to know, should be very conscious of the fact that the greatest gift of the spiritual master, of Krishna, is the opportunity to utter the name of Krishna. Today is Jiva Goswami's disappearance day. I will speak a little bit about his lifetime. And one thing especially Jiva Goswami mentions is how devotional service, the chanting of the holy name, is so important that even if imperfectly performed, this process of devotional service can help one to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the wonderful glory of Naam Sankirtan. Jiva Goswami explains that all processes of devotional service should be accompanied by chanting of the holy name. That is what makes everything auspicious. Yesterday in Juhu, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was speaking about the pastime of Vamanadev and discussions with Shukracharya. And in that time it was explained how even if there are mistakes, if one utters Omkar, or Omkar is non-different from Hare Krishna, everything becomes auspicious. Even if you make 100 mistakes in the lecture, if you just chant Hare Krishna, that is success. Somehow or other we have to cultivate our consciousness in such a way that our heart is beating. With every beat we are remembering Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should always pray to Radha Gopinath that let me chant constantly as often as my heart beats, or even more often. And even my heart stops beating, then my soul may continue to sing the glories of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On the days of the disappearance day or appearance day of the great acharyas, it is a blessed opportunity to beg for their mercy. Actually, for the Vaishnavas, appearance day and disappearance day both are glorious, especially disappearance day, because by that time the glory is revealed. A Vaishnava lives eternally through his sound vibrations. He is in still who says that Vaishnavas die. Thou art living still in sound. Vaishnavas try to live, and while living, spread the holy name around. I will discuss a little bit about Srila Jiva Goswami on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is from Adilila, chapter 10, where the discussion of the tree of Lord Chaitanya, the branches of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. This is the 10th chapter, 85th verse. Tarmadhe Rupa Sanatana Bada Shakha Anupam Jiva Rajendra Adi Upashakha. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva Goswami and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. Purport. In the Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilas Manjari Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit, and following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudan Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to Vrindavan and took shelter of his uncles, Sri Rupa and Sanatan. This is described in the Bhakti Ratnakar. As far as our information goes, Srila Jiva Goswami composed and edited at least 25 books. It's about 4 lakh verses he wrote. They are all very much celebrated, and they are listed as follows: Hari Namamrita Vyakaran, Sutra Malika, Dhatu Sangraha, Krishnarcha Dipika, Gopal Virudhavali, Rasamrita Shesha, Shri Madhav Mahotsav, Shri Sankalpa Kalpa Vriksha, Bhavartha Shuchaka Champu, Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Gopal Tapani Tika. A commentary on the Brahma Samhita. Commentary on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Commentary on the Ujjwal Neelamani. Commentary on the Yoga Sarstava. Commentary on the Gayatri Mantra, as described in Agni Puran. Description of the Lord's lotus feet, derived from Padma Puran. The lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, and 18 Gopal Champu, and 19 to 25 seven Sandarbhas: Krama Sandarbha, Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, and Priti Sandarbha. After the disappearance of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami became the acharya of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Odisha, and the rest of the world. And it is he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodar temple, where after retirement, we had the opportunity to live from 1962 until 1965, when we decided to come to the United States of America. When Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnath Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Srila Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Dukhi Krishna Das, that is Shyamananda, to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts that had been collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes were plundered near Vishnupur in Bengal. But later he received the information that the books had been recovered. There's that famous story which all of you might be knowing, how the books were being taken to make copies. And on the way, one king, Birambir, had his men steal the books. Srila Prabhupada describing that pastime here, how these books were stolen and later recovered. Jiva Goswami awarded the designation Kaviraj to Ramachandra Sen, who became Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya. Ramachandra's younger brother was Govinda, who became Govinda Kaviraj. While Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Janava Devi, the pleasure potentate of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with the residence and prasad. His disciple, Krishnadas Adhikari, listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. I will read a little bit about his life, and then again we'll come back to this purport. As you all know, Sri Jiva Goswami, he was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa and Sanatan's brother was Anupam, and Jiva Goswami was the son of Anupam. During the time of Nawab Hussain Shah, because of political pressure, Rupa and Sanatan had to accept the job of being ministers under Nawab Hussain Shah. At that time, they were residing in Ramkeli, which is in Bengal, almost being Bengal-Bihar border. And they were not really wanting to be ministers, but because of the pressure, they had to accept this post. And they were writing constant letters to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asking how they could meet him. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya, he told them that you should do your worldly duties in a very nice way, but be attached to Krishna wherever you are. And years later, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Puri, and he was planning to go to Vrindavan, so at that time he came to Navadvip, or he came to Bengal, and he came to this place known as Ramakeli. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting Ramakeli, Rupa and Sanatan, they secretly approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered obeisances to him and prayed for his mercy. At that time, Jiva Goswami was young. He was about 4 years old, and he was watching from a distance the interaction of his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, with Lord Shri Mahaprabhu. Just by that brief darshan and hearing the ambrosial words of Lord Gauranga and seeing the example of his father and uncles, he became completely saturated with the thoughts of Gaurasundar. He could not think of anything else. Soon after this, his father Anupam was traveling with Rupa Goswami to Jagannath Puri to meet Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And on the way to Jagannath Puri, Anupam departed from the world on the bank of the Ganga and entered into the spiritual world. Jiva Goswami was very much devastated upon hearing the news of the departure of his father, because not only was his father, but also he was a great Vaishnava. And then Rupa and Sanatan, on the order of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they settled in Vrindavan. In his mind, Jiva Goswami was always thinking, when will I go to meet Rupa and Sanatan? When will I be able to serve them? And because of this intense desire, he had no interest in anything material. He was always aspiring to just be with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. He would pray to Krishna Balaram, when will that day be when I will be able to associate with Rupa and Sanatan Goswami? He had deities of Krishna Balaram, which he would worship, and he would serve, he would make food for them, bhoga for them, constantly bow down to them, prepare clothes for them, and sing and dance for them. And in this way, he was always, whole day he was praying for that day when he could associate with Rupa and Sanatan. One day, or rather one night, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he was feeling great separation. And he was praying, O Lord Gauranga, Nityananda, Advaita, please, please be merciful to me. And as he was praying, crying, and after some time he fell asleep. And in the dream, he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with all of his associates, Nityananda, Advaita, Srivas, and they were all performing kirtan of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then his dream broke. He got up and he was lamenting because Lord Chaitanya, who had appeared in the dream, had disappeared. Again he was praying, my Lord, where are you? Where can I find you? Where have you gone? And again he had another dream. And in this time, he saw Krishna and Balaram. Shyam Sundar with a beautiful bluish complexion and Balaram ji with his white complexion. Jiva Goswami was completely absorbed. And suddenly Balaramji transformed into Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Krishna transformed into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami offered his obeisances and took their beautiful lotus feet and placed them on his head. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Jiva Goswami that I am now entrusting you under the care of Nityananda Prabhu. You are his property. And then Lord Nityananda replied that you should always worship Gauranga. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of everyone. This was all in a dream. And after some time, Jiva Goswami got up. Jiva Goswami, he wanted to run to Vrindavan Dham. He was thinking, I should just leave everything. But the Lord first inspired him to go to Navadvip to see the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared and performed his childhood pastimes. So he had to make some excuse to his relatives and he said that I am going to some place to meet my old friends. And then he went onto the boat and then he told the boatman that you take me to Navadvip. When he came to Navadvip, he immediately began to inquire, where is Lord Nityananda? And he was first directed to Srivas Thakur's place, Srivas Angan. And Lord Nityananda knew that Jiva Goswami is coming. So, first he went to Srivas Angan. Srivas Thakur went with all his devotees to greet him. And they brought him to the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu. It's always the case that you find that some devotee become instrumental in bringing us to Lord Nityananda and Gauranga. Jiva Goswami offered his prostrated obeisances. And Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet, those lotus feet which are worshipped by Brahma and Shiva, on the head of the most fortunate Shri Jiva Goswami. Nityananda Prabhu decided to take Jiva Goswami on parikrama of all the holy places of Navadvip. And that is what we read in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmaya, is the description of Nityananda Prabhu taking Jiva Goswami on all these holy places. First they went to Yogapeet, the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared. There they were greeted by Shachi Devi and Vishnu Priya, who were still on this planet at that time. Vishnu Priya and Shachi Devi, and also servant of Shachi Devi named Vansi Vadan. They were so happy to see Jiva Goswami. Shachi Devi and Vishnu Priya, they put their feet on the head of the fortunate Jiva Goswami. They cooked nice prasad and served Jiva Goswami, bestowed blessings upon him to begin his parikrama. They went through all the 9 islands and many of the places where they went, they actually saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing along with his associates in the divine sankirtan, the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nityananda Prabhu then ordered Jiva Goswami to go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. But first, before that, he told him that he should go to Varanasi and study Sanskrit from a scholar whose name was Madhusudan Vachaspati. He was so great that Madhusudan Vachaspati was so happy to have such a student. And Madhusudan Vachaspati was chanting his glories, Jiva Goswami's glories. And he became famous not only throughout Varanasi, but throughout India as a deeply learned and realized scholar of Vaishnava literatures and a profound philosopher. See, sometimes the tendency is that when you are very learned, you can become very proud. But we'll see in the life of Srila Jiva Goswami how he was an excellent example of one who can be the most profound scholar, at the same time be humbler than a blade of grass. He was always obedient to Rupa Goswami, who was his spiritual master. After his studies in Varanasi, he went to Vrindavan. There he met his beloved uncles. And Jiva Goswami came, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Bhugurupa Goswami, Loknath Goswami, they were all very happy to welcome Jiva Goswami into their association. First of all, Jiva Goswami surrendered to Sanatana Goswami, begging for initiation. Sanatana Goswami, out of his humility, did not feel qualified. He directed him to Sri Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami did not initiate him immediately. First he wanted to train him and also test him, the duty of the guru to test the disciple. So Jiva Goswami was given a service of preparing the deity paraphernalia for Rupa Goswami's deities, Radha Govinda. Sometimes make garlands, sometimes do cleaning, prepare pencils for Rupa Goswami to write on the palm leaves. They would do all their writings by carving. They didn't have laptop computers at that time. So this was a special service of Jiva Goswami. And what it shows also is that even though these are associates of the spiritual world, Manjaris, they also followed the standard Vaishnava training system. And it's like it says, Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gana Natibhi. Although the Goswamis, they were on the platform of pure love for Krishna, they would follow that tradition and also the discipline of sadhana bhakti so as to set an example for all Vaishnavas to follow. Sometimes he would offer personal service to Shripad Rupa Goswami, massage him, and Rupa Goswami was so pleased with him and finally he gave him initiation. There are a couple of stories which explain loving appreciation in the form of chastisement by Rupa Goswami, which is really to show how a disciple should be before his guru, and the epitome of humility. There was one great pandit whose name was Rup Narayan, and he was known as Digvijay. He was so proud, he would travel all over the country and he would challenge people to debates, and then he would defeat them. He would tell them, either you sign this certificate saying them I am defeated by Rup Narayan, or you have a debate with me. And invariably he would be victorious. So in this way, he was traveling and he came to Vrindavan. And he heard a lot about the glories of Rupa and Sanatan. So he decided that I will challenge them. So Rupa and Sanatan, you know, when Rupa Narayan came to challenge them, I am a great scholar to challenge you. So Rupa and Sanatan were thinking, why should we waste our time? We can spend time chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Avyartha Kalam, why should we waste time in this mundane scholars? So they decided to sign that, yes, we have accepted defeat. Signed Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So he took that certificate, and then he had heard about Jiva Goswami, who was an upcoming scholar. He went to Jiva Goswami. And then he told Jiva, see, your uncles, they have also accepted defeat. And you should also sign this, or you should have a debate with me. Jiva Goswami was infuriated. Because Trinandapi Sunichena means being humble oneself, but giving the highest respect to Guru and to Vaishnavas. How could he tolerate that my revered Guru has been defeated by a scholar, so-called scholar, is so proud? I challenge you right now, right here on the bank of the Yamuna. For 7 days, the debate went on. And finally, there were many people, many scholars watching the whole debate. It was unanimously agreed that Jiva Goswami is victorious. And Rupa Narayan was defeated. He lost his certificate. No longer undefeated. So he left. He did it just to defend his guru. Not for name, not for prestige, not for glorification. And he was thinking that my guru will be very happy. So he went to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and told them the news. Rupa Goswami was transcendentally angry. He said, what nonsense? Why did you waste your time in a mundane scholar? You wanted to establish yourself as a great scholar. It's a sign of pride. Anybody who is proud can no longer stay in Vrindavan. So you should leave Vrindavan immediately. Jiva Goswami did not defend himself. He did not say, Gurudev, I just did for you. What is this? Next time I will not do anything for you. Sometimes when we are misunderstood in our service, we become angry and we say, why don't you do this service? And if you are... And Jiva Goswami, actually, Prabhupada explains that it was the... Rupa Goswami wanted to show Jiva Goswami's glory. This is very transcendental. Vaishnavira Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhuja. It's very difficult to understand the mind of a great Vaishnava like Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami simply accepted, yes, I'm not qualified. Let me just leave Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan and he went to one place in Mathura. He was fasting, performing austerities. And somehow or other, Sanatan Goswami got the news that Jiva Goswami is in a very much materially very suffering condition. So he went to Rupa Goswami and said, among the Siddhanta of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I believe there is something which you have not understood. So Rupa Goswami also did not become angry. Oh, what do you mean? He very humbly said, yes, what is the thing? So they were going to a discussion and they came to Jivadoya. Jivadoya. Jivadoya means two things. It also means mercy to conditioned living beings and also means mercy to Jiva Goswami. So immediately Rupa Goswami called for Jiva Goswami back into his association. And there's another incident, something similar, also in Vrindavan Dham. Where Vallabhacharya, the Vallabha Bhatta, the great scholar, very senior devotee. So Rupa Goswami had just completed writing his great literature, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he gave a copy of this book to Vallabhacharya and said that I have written this book. You please correct for any errors, any mistakes. So Vallabha Bhatta took this book and he found some errors. And Vallabhacharya was on the bank of the Yamuna. He met Jiva Goswami and he started explaining to him that your guru's book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I have found some technical errors in this book. Jiva Goswami became infuriated. How can you find fault in the words of my Gurudev? He was so angry, could not tolerate. So they began to explain to Vallabhacharya that your vision is different. If you see from Rupa Goswami's vision, how these words are correct. And Vallabhacharya was amazed, he was defeated. And Vallabhacharya was thinking that Jiva Goswami is a great scholar. So he went back to Rupa Goswami and said, take back this book. What to speak of you? Even your disciple has defeated me. So there is no question of me editing your book. You are the most brilliant philosopher, Jiva Goswami, and you are his guru. So Hare Krishna. How can I find out anything fault with what you have written? Everything you are speaking is coming from directly from Radha and Krishna, the spiritual world, so there cannot be any fault. And then he left. I bowed down millions of times like that. Very respectfully he left. Jiva Goswami came back and again Rupa Goswami was very angry. He said, you have committed a great offense. This is nonsense. You know, Vallabhacharya, I am your guru. And Vallabhacharya is senior to me also. And he, out of love, like a parent trying to help his child, was trying to help me with my book. And why did you correct him? You have transgressed the etiquette of a Vaishnava. And one who is not humble like a blade of grass cannot stay in Vrindavan. So he should immediately leave Vrindavan. And again, Jiva Goswami left without any discussion, without any trying to defend himself. He went to one place called Nandaghat, and there was a small abandoned hole where a crocodile would stay earlier. He went to that remote place and he would just be all night, all day he was crying and he would be chanting Krishna's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. He would not even come out of the hole. Some Brijabasis would put some atta, some wheat flour, would mix it with water, and that's all what he would take. Sometimes every 3 days he would take some of that. And he became very sickly. There was an ulcer in his stomach. He could hardly move. He was crying in separation from the Lord. Again, Sanatan Goswami was very popular among the Brajabasis, would wander from village to village. So Sanatan Goswami, he happened to come there, and some people told that there is a very great sadhu is staying here, and he's very weak. He's hardly taking any wheat flour. And so Sanatan Goswami, he came to know that this was Jiva Goswami. So again, he went and told Rupa Goswami about the condition of Jiva Goswami. Jiva Doya again. So Rupa Goswami called him back to his association. And Jiva Goswami was happy to serve him again. Couple of things which Rupa Goswami wanted to teach through this verse, through this pastime. First is, of course, a Braj is attained by becoming humbler than a blade of grass. Braj is not attained simply by physically being there, but by adopting the mood of servant of the servant. And second thing, most important, he wanted to show the humility and devotion of Jiva Goswami, in spite of being misunderstood, banished, did not defend himself in any way. That's Rupa Goswami wanted to glorify his disciple, and in this way tested him. So again, Jiva Goswami was back into his association, and he was serving him. In fact, Rupa Goswami personally prepared deities of Radha Damodar. He carved those deities, and out of love for Jiva Goswami, he handed over these deities to Jiva Goswami so that he could serve these deities. It is believed also that the king Akbar, he came to Vrindavan Dham once, and he had the darshan of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami gave him some special mercy, because of which he could appreciate Vrindavan Dham. In fact, Akbar and many of his ministers, they were very active in helping to develop Vrindavan Dham because of Jiva Goswami's love. Radha Govinda Mandir, and even Radha Damodar Mandir, and Jugal Kishore Mandir. So, of course, later on we know his grandson did a lot of unwanted things. But the mercy of Jiva Goswami was also on a king like Akbar. Jiva Goswami, one of his great desire was, he wanted to preserve the writings of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and all the Vaishnava Acharyas. So he built a library, and there he kept all the writings of Rupa, Sanatan, Raghunath Das, Krishnath Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami's book. And this was all kept in the Radha Damodar temple. It has been approximated that he alone has written about 4 lakh Sanskrit verses and over 25 books, the names of which we read in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. And under the instruction of Rupa and Sanatan, Jiva Goswami took the principle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, and he established those principles on the basis of undefeatable sound philosophy. See, the truth is there. The truth is simple, that devotional service is the way to perfection. And the devotional service principally means loud chanting of the holy name. But Jiva Goswami established it through the study of the Shastras. Nana Shastra, Charinikau, Nipuno, Sadharma Sansthapaka. That was his chief contribution. Through the Sandarbhas, the word Sandarbha means reference. So through the Sandarbhas, he, taking quotations from the Puranas and other Vedic literatures, he established the different facets of pure devotional service. The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas claim that the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is the greatest of all the philosophies of the world, in all histories of mankind. And among all Gaudiya philosophers, Jiva Goswami is the foremost, the first. After Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami returned to Golok Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami was the successor, the head of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, for all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Odisha, Vrindavan, and all over the world. There was one great acharya of the name Hriday Chaitanya, who lived in Bengal, he sent his foremost disciple, Dukhi Krishnadas, to study under Jiva Goswami, who later on became Shyamananda. Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated Srinivas Acharya, and he sent Srinivas Acharya to study under Jiva Goswami. And similarly, Loknath Goswami initiated Narottam Das Thakur, and he also sent him to study under Jiva Goswami. So it's a perfect example of how these three disciples of different gurus were studying under Srila Jiva Goswami. At one time, Janava Devi, she sent a message to Jiva Goswami that you are the leader of the Vaishnavas, but ever since the time of the disappearance of Nityananda Prabhu, devotees have been feeling great separation. So she wanted that all the books which are there in Vrindavan, if they can be sent to Bengal to make copies. At that time they didn't have any printing presses, or they didn't have any CDs. We could send by a CD or something. They had to physically take the books. So Jiva Goswami agreed, and he deputed all these three great Vaishnavas, Narottam, Shyamananda and Srinivas, to carry in these books in ox carts, put them in nice beautiful boxes. And most of you know this story of how when these books were being taken on the way, King Birambir, he had some of his men who could figure out something valuable was being taken. So, well, it was really valuable, but they thought of material value. So they stole these books. And it was Srinivas Acharya who later on preached to the king, the king became his disciple. And when the king asked whether I can give you some service, some dakshina, so Srinivas Acharya asked if he can help find the books back. And of course the king had to admit that I was the thief. So he gave these books back. For us, this Srila Jiva Goswami's temple, Radha Damodar, is of paramount importance, because before going to America, Prabhupada spent almost 3 years, 62 to 65, and he wrote the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam there. And there is where the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami is there, and also the Samadhi of Srila Jiva Goswami is there. Prabhupada was constantly, as the local people there say, and even devotees explain how Prabhupada would constantly go to the Samadhis of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami and pray for their mercy to be empowered in this divine task. Such noble work can only be possible by the mercy of the six Goswamis. They said about the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath, that Ichhe Gosai Kori Charana Vandan Jaha Huite Vighnanash Abhishta Puran, that just by remembering these personalities, all obstacles they go away. Our goal is simply to chew the remnants of these great Vaishnavas. In fact, our divine founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita that I am simply chewing the remnants of the great Acharyas. There will be many obstacles on the path of devotional service, but the mercy of the six Goswamis is our only hope. Srila Prabhupada explains the six Goswamis are constantly watching the activities of our society. It is their mercy which is sustaining our spiritual activities. They are always with us in the form of their instructions. And what Srila Prabhupada has given us in his books is basically the writings of the six Goswamis. Like one very senior disciple of Prabhupada was explaining how for us, we may not be possible to study all these works. We may not even understand if we try to. Not everybody can understand, at least. But what Srila Prabhupada has done, he was explaining after studying the Sandarbhas and other literature, he's presented these same works of the six Goswamis in a way so that a person, even with whether very intelligent or even average intelligent, can understand. So in the teachings of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we are finding the teaching of Jiva Goswami and all the predecessor Acharyas. Just a little bit more from the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada explains that the Sahajiyas level 3 accusation against Sri Jiva Goswami. This is certainly not congenial for the execution of devotional service. This is basically the same story which I narrated, that some scholars, they say that Jiva Goswami was very proud. When Prabhupada explains that this was Jiva Goswami's humility, that he wanted to stop a dishonest scholar from advertising that I have defeated Rupa and Sanatan. The people who accuse Jiva Goswami, they do not know that humility and meekness are appropriate when one is insulted. But when Lord Vishnu or the Acharyas are blasphemed, one should not be humble and meek. One should be like fire, like lion. It's like Trinadapi Thunichena is there. The same person who spoke Trinadapi Thunichena became very angry when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was attacked. Hanuman is perfect, Trinadapi Thunichena, and he burned the whole Lanka. So, a devotee to be angry on the insult of his spiritual master is a sign of greatness. One should not tolerate insults for great souls. One must take proper steps to counteract such blasphemy. It's the duty of the servant of Guru and Vaishnavas. Some people, they accuse Jiva Goswami of saying that he did not approve of the Parakiya Ras of Vrindavan. He supported Swakiya Ras. Swakiya Ras means Radha and Krishna are married then. Actually, Prabhupada explains, when Jiva Goswami was alive, some of the followers, they disliked Parakiya Ras. Therefore, Jiva Goswami, for their spiritual benefit, supported Swakiya Ras. For he could understand that Sahajiyas would otherwise exploit the Parakiya Ras, as they are actually doing at the present time. So, in other words, Jiva Goswami perfectly knew the position of the Swakiya Ras and Parakiya Ras. But seeing the situation, and just so that people may not misuse this idea of the relationship between Radha and Krishna, which is of the paramount level at the spiritual world and the lowest in this material world, perverted reflection. So that's why Jiva Goswami, he supported Swakiya Ras. But there's no question of his being opposed to Parakiya Ras. Sri Jiva Goswami perfectly followed his predecessor Acharya, that is Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami accepted him as one of his instructing gurus. A little bit more about the writings of Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada explains in Madhya Lila. Prabhupada explains how these sandarbhas are composed of different topics. First is the Tattva Sandarbha. In the Tattva Sandarbha, it is proved that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most authoritative evidence directly pointing to the Absolute Truth. The second Sandarbha is called Bhagavat Sandarbha. The Bhagavat Sandarbha draws a distinction between impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and then it describes the spiritual world and the domination of the mode of goodness devoid of contamination by the other two modes. I'm just summarizing. Those of you who get time during the day can go through this quite long purport. It explains the writings of the six sandarbhas in summary. In the third sandarbha, which is called Paramatma Sandarbha, there's a description of Paramatma and an explanation of how the super soul exists in millions and millions of living entities. There is discussion of the difference between the qualitative incarnation and the discourses concerning living entities, maya, illusory energy, sameness of the world, the super soul, and the truth of this material world. There is also a discussion of the different lila avatars of the Lord and how the Supreme Lord has all the six opulences. The fourth sandarbha is called Krishna Sandarbha. In Krishna Sandarbha, it is proved that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is some discussion of Krishna's pastimes and qualities, superintendence of Purusha avatars. The opinion of the Acharyas like Sridhar Swami is corroborated, and Baladev, Sankarshan and other expansions of Krishna are emanations of Mahasankarshan, that is explained. And also there is description of Golok Vrindavan, Golok, the identity of Golok, the Yadavas and the cowherd boys, and the queens of Dwarka, how they are expansion of the internal potency, and how superior to them are the gopis of Vrindavan. In that book, you will find a list of all the gopis and, of course, the discussion of the topmost position of Srimati Radharani. The fifth sandarbha is called Bhakti Sandarbha. In Bhakti Sandarbha, there is a discussion of how devotional service can be directly executed and how such service can be adjusted either directly or indirectly. The discussion of the different scriptures, discussion of Varnashram, and how bhakti is superior to karma, jnana, and all other processes. Specifically, it is mentioned how just by rendering bhakti, one can develop all good qualities. And there is a discussion how the self is manifest through bhakti, and even imperfect execution of bhakti enables one to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Then there is a description of the different items of devotional service, and along with sadhana bhakti, there is a discussion of raganuga bhakti. The sixth sandarbha called Preeti Sandarbha is basically a thesis on Preeti, love of Krishna. It explains how love of God is the prayojan, that's the highest goal. And a distinction is made between liberated condition of personalist and that of impersonalist. Discussion of liberation during one's lifetime as distinguished from liberation from material bondage. How it is described, how the real liberation means to be engaged in Krishna's service. In a description is a comparative study is made of liberation, Salokya, Samipya and Sarupya. And Samipya described is better than Salokya. Finally, there is discussion of the different rasas and overlapping of rasas and discussions of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. And finally, Prabhupada concludes by describing Gopal Champu. The next verse is Gopala Champu Name Grantha Mahashura Nitya Leela Sthapan Jahe Vrajarasa Pura. The most famous and formidable transcendental literature is the book named Gopal Champu. In this book, the eternal pastimes of the Lord are established and the transcendental mellows enjoyed in Vrindavan are completely described. Purport. In his Anubhashya, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur gives the following description about Gopal Champu. The Gopal Champu is divided into two parts. The first part is called the eastern wave. The second part is called the northern wave. In the first part, there are 33 supplications. Basically, it corresponds with more or less like Krishna book, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's like we have the first part which describes the Braja Leela, the later part which describes the Dwarka Leela. So there is a complete, we don't have so much time, but Prabhupada describes the headings of the different chapter, beginning from the birth of Krishna till the killing of Arishtasura. And after killing of Arishtasura, the Keshi demon is killed, and then Narad Muni appears. That is the first part. And the second part begins with Krishna's leaving, Akrura coming to Vrindavan, taking Krishna to Mathura, killing of the demons in Mathura, then Jarasandha battle, and how Krishna establishes Dwarka. And there are some additional chapters which you do not find in the Krishna book. For example, there is Krishna's revisiting Vrindavan. It's like in the Bhagavatam we do not find that because Sukadeva Goswami did not feel appropriate to narrate to Parikshit Maharaj. But here Prabhupada describes that in the Gopal Champu there is a description of how Krishna comes back to Vrindavan. And there is also a description of the transcendental marriage ceremony of Radharani and Krishna. And finally how Krishna along with all the associates returns back to Goloka Vrindavan. So this is in brief the work of Srila Jiva Goswami. I'll just speak a couple of minutes on Jagadish Pandit. Today is his disappearance day also. He is also explained as one of the associates of the gopis of Vrindavan. And there is one pastime in Chaitanya Bhagavat which describes Jagadish Pandit, Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit. As you all know that Lord Chaitanya in his childhood pastimes in Navadvip, he would be crying and he would stop crying when the ladies would gather to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. But actually they would chant Hari Hari. So just by chanting Hari Hari. So this was the daily routine. But one day Lord Chaitanya would not stop crying in spite of the chanting of Hari Hari. So they asked Nimai, why are you crying? What do you want? The Lord said, if you wish to save my life, then you should go to the home of these two Brahmins named Jagdish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit. There is something in their home that I wish to have. Today is Ekadashi. The story, not today. Today is Ekadashi and I wish to eat the food that has been offered to Lord Vishnu. I want to get the Mahaprasad. If I could eat the remnants of those offerings, I'll become peaceful. So Mother Shachi, she became unhappy because she thought that this is impossible. She declared, what you ask is not permitted by the Vedic or social custom. Today is Ekadashi. But still, Jagannath Mishra went to the house of Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. And then he asked them whether you have just had an offering. They were surprised to know how Jagannath Mishra could know what was going on. This boy seems to be very intelligent. We have just made a nice offering to Lord Vishnu. It appears that Lord Narayan is enjoying pastime in this boy's body. They were not thinking that this boy is Gaur Narayan. But Lord Narayan is performing pastimes in the body of Nimai. So these two Brahmins, they were very happy. They brought all the prasad remnants and they gave them to Nimai, and Nimai was very happy. So it is Vrindavan Das Thakur concludes this story by saying, only by Krishna's mercy does a person become intelligent in this way, as Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit have been Lord's servant birth after birth. With their own eyes they saw these pastimes which Lord Chaitanya performed as a Brahmin boy. He tasted a little bit from each preparation. He ate the prasad and everyone chanted Hari Hari. Some of the prasad fell to the ground and some was sprinkled to some people's limbs. In this way, the king who rules 33 million demigods enjoyed pastimes. So let us just pray to Jiva Goswami and Jagadish Pandit for their mercy. It is said that Acharya's disappearance and appearance, they are the great source of mercy. And especially let us pray to Jiva Goswami so that we can understand Srila Prabhupada's books and get taste for the holy name. Shri Jiva Goswami ki jai, Shri Jagadish Pandit ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.